Welcome to All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. My name is Francis Blight, and this is the podcast service for Sunday the 24th of May, 2020. Last Thursday was Ascension Day, which sets the focus of today's worship. I'll be preaching with the title, What is the Message of Jesus' Ascension to Heaven? I encourage you to have a Bible ready, either a digital or a paper copy. The readings will be from the New International Version, the NIV UK. All the other content that you need to participate is in today's service sheet, so have that ready on a screen or print it out. Alongside this podcast, our schools worker Ruth Reynolds has made a YouTube video for children with accompanying activity sheets. All the resources can be downloaded from the church website. Today's service is led by Paul Southern.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be together this morning for our podcast service. Though we are unable to be physically together, we can look to be joined to one another through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Today we are celebrating the Ascension of Jesus Christ. In the past 6 weeks, we have been celebrating with joyful hearts the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, his bursting from the tomb, and his defeat of the power of sin and death. Today we shall hear in God's word that Jesus has gone up through the heavens and is now seated at God the Father's side. This is good news for us. And through God's word, and in the sermon Francis will give, we will see why and explore the meaning for our lives. So then, we have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness for our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Our first song this morning rejoices in the fact that Jesus is exalted in heaven. Part of the Oxford Dictionary definition of the word exalted is to regard highly. So then, let his reign of truth cause us to praise his name as an act of our will and a token of our love. We sing, He is exalted, the King is exalted, and I will praise him. The words are on our service sheet.
He is exalted, the King. I will praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall
Lord of all and our source of joy, receive our praise and thanksgiving. Keep us in the love of Christ and bring us to the vision of his glory through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Some words from the Scriptures at this Ascensiontide as we come to confess our sins to Almighty God. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 12 and verse 1, encourages us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. How do we do this? Hebrews again helps us. Chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our sins are the things we have thought, said, and done that we know we shouldn't have done, and the failure to do the things we know we ought to have done. So let's come silently before God for a short while and bring those things to the throne of grace. And now we say our confession prayer together. The words are printed on the service sheet. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we receive forgiveness. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say the collect prayer together. Again, the words are printed on the service sheet. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour Christ is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Both our Bible readings this morning are to be found in the New Testament. Our first Bible reading is read to us by Isaac Holt, and it's from Acts chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 11, from the New International Version of the Bible, the UK edition.
The reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV UK version of the Bible. So that's Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the clouds hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second Bible reading is read to us by Christine Willits. It's St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, reading verses 15 to 23.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. The blessings of redemption. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Thanks be to God."
Now our minister Francis Blight will bring God's word to us.
During the months of December to May, we've moved through the major marker points of Jesus Christ's life. At Christmas, we remembered his conception by the Holy Spirit and his birth. On Good Friday, we focused on his crucifixion, death, and burial. On Easter Sunday, we looked at his resurrection back to life from the dead. And now we come to Jesus' ascension. This sermon is entitled, "What is the message of Jesus' ascension to heaven?" There's a page in today's service sheet if you'd like to take notes during this talk, and I've divided it into three sections. So what is the message of Jesus' ascension? Firstly, Jesus' ascension to heaven means Spirit-filled mission now. In the first chapter of Acts, we have a brief account of Jesus' ascension. 40 days have passed since Jesus' resurrection from the dead. He's with his apostles and tells them that the Holy Spirit will soon empower them to be his witnesses throughout the world. After this, verse 9, he's taken up before them as they watch him with their own eyes. As he goes up, a cloud hides him from their sight. Now, this may be an ordinary cloud, or it might be a cloud of God's glory. At various points in Bible history, God manifested his presence in a cloud. Whichever it is, Jesus is now hidden from the apostles' sight, so they can't see exactly what happens to him. They can't see his entry into God's heavenly kingdom. And I think we must conclude from this that God didn't want them to see it. We want to know how Jesus got into heaven. Where exactly is heaven geographically? Understandably, we're interested in answers to these questions, but the Bible doesn't tell us. So let's have a look at Acts chapter 1 to see what it does tell us about. As the apostles stand gazing upwards, two men dressed in white suddenly appear beside them. Verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who's been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The angel's point is that this is not the end. The apostles don't need to keep looking up into the sky to try to see Jesus. What should they do? Well, they need to be obedient to Jesus' final instructions recorded in verses 7 to 8. They're to stay in Jerusalem until they receive the promised baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will empower them, and they're to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, then in the wider area of Judea and Samaria, and then even to the ends of the earth. They're to witness throughout the world regarding all that God has shown them in Jesus. So the first meaning of Jesus' ascension is Spirit-filled mission. The apostles have a job to do. God is going to empower them with his Holy Spirit, and this will be the focus of next week's Pentecost podcast. They aren't just to hang around wondering where Jesus has gone. No, there's kingdom work to be done. And there's a message in this for us. Like the first apostles, Christians today have a job to do. It isn't identical. We aren't the original 11 apostles who were eyewitnesses of Jesus. But we do have an ongoing Spirit-empowered mission today. That is, the many and varied works of God's kingdom. God has many personal ministries and good works for each of us to do. We're to live for him, working faithfully in our paid work and in our homes. Within our church structure, this is an encouragement to keep serving in different ministries, like the church care team, or in growth groups, in outreach through Christianity Explored, and encouraging other church members, or perhaps in our youth and children's work. Particularly, we're called to be witnesses of Jesus to the ends of the earth, to the whole world, and that is no small task. So while we have a special mission focus on Fordham and Atash Green, the Christian mission is global. Now, we should note that like the first apostles, we are still in between the events that the angels spoke about. Jesus ascended 40 days after his resurrection. God promised through his angels that he will come back from heaven in the same way that the apostles saw him leave. We are in between these two events, and while we wait, there is a mission to complete. The COVID-19 outbreak and lockdown cause us to ask questions about what our mission is. What should the church be doing? Well, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 reminds us, as followers of the ascended Jesus, that our mission is to witness to him. The apostles' ends of the earth mission brought the gospel of Jesus to Colchester hundreds of years ago, and the ends of the earth mission still continues for us until Jesus comes back. So let us press on with the task of witnessing to Jesus. Jesus' ascension means Spirit-filled mission now. For the remainder of this sermon, I want us to turn to the reading from Ephesians. So what is the message of Jesus' ascension? Secondly, Jesus is the supreme heavenly ruler. Well, I encourage you to have Ephesians chapter 1 open in front of you, and we're going to focus on verses 20 to 22. In Christine's reading that we heard a few minutes ago, we heard about God's power which raised Christ from the dead and then took him to heaven. Verse 20. God's power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Do you see that in this verse, Paul goes straight from Jesus' resurrection to his ascension? He mentions them both, jumping over the 40 days that were spent teaching the apostles. God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. He doesn't use the word resurrection or the word ascension in this verse, but clearly this is what he's talking about. Both were acts of raising Christ up, raised from death, raised to heaven. Jesus' ascension is, from one angle, a second phase of his resurrection, a second part. The Gospels record several accounts of Jesus raising people back to life from death, most notably Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. Wonderfully, Lazarus came out of the tomb alive. But we assume that later on in his life, he would have died a normal death, as all humans do. Without the ascension, it might have been the same for Jesus. But his ascension to heaven completes his resurrection. Jesus was raised up to heaven with a physical human body. His ascension massively raises the wonder of Jesus' identity. It moves us far away from the view of Jesus as simply being a wonderful teacher to seeing him as the supreme heavenly ruler. Jesus' resurrection and ascension are two parts of the same movement from death to God's right hand in heaven. They're both signs of his lordship, Lord over death in his resurrection, and then Lord over all authorities in his ascension. He's now seated in the place of honour at God the Father's right hand. And just as an aside, please note that when the day of judgment comes and you're standing facing Jesus, he'll be on the left as you look at him. He'll be on the Father's right hand on our left. Just wanted to prepare you so that you aren't asking unnecessary questions at that awesome moment. So Jesus is now seated in the heavenly realms, which means that his work on earth is complete. The task is done. You know, when you've been working in the garden or clearing the attic, or you've finished a significant project at work or at school, the job is done, and you sit down, don't you? Jesus sat down after his work was done. And he sat down, verse 21, far above all rule and authority, all power and dominion, above every title that can be given. Jesus' ascension means that he is the super boss. Whatever title you want to give to someone, Jesus is above it. So he's the king of all kings and the lord above all lords. He's above all church leaders, bishops and archbishops. He is, if you like, the arch king. He's the managing director above all managing directors. He's the CEO above all CEOs. He's above all spiritual powers and forces that might claim to be rulers. In verse 22, we see that God placed all things under his feet. This is the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy in Psalm 110, verse 1. I'll read that verse to you. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." The Lord said to my Lord, that first Lord is God as revealed in the Old Testament, Yahweh, revealed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, revealed to Moses. The Lord, Yahweh, said to my Lord. Well, it turns out that David's Lord, David wrote the psalm, is Jesus Christ. Jesus' ascension was a very important staging post in the fulfillment of this prophecy. So the application for us and for our society is that all powers and authorities are under Jesus. Today, to a large degree, Jesus is only seen as being of significance to Christians within church activities and in their personal lives. Christianity isn't seen as very important in wider UK society. It's seen as one religious option amongst many. Muhammad shows a different way, as does Siddhartha, the founder of Buddhism. So do the Hindu gods. But Jesus' ascension fundamentally challenges this multiple option approach, because it says in verse 21, Jesus is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. We should note that this one amongst many situation was the same in the decades following Jesus' life on earth, when the New Testament was written. During the church's first growth in the culture of the Roman Empire, Christians were apparently sometimes called atheists by some Roman citizens. Now that sounds strange to us. Why would they call them atheists? Well, it was because they didn't believe in the gods, plural. They didn't believe in the pantheon of Roman gods, Apollo, Bacchus, Diana, Minerva, etc. Jesus' ascension means that he is the supreme ruler. Some Christians in the first century died for this belief during the reign of Emperor Nero. And Jesus' ascension means that dying in this way was not for nothing. His ascension challenges what we think the greatest good is. It's not leading a quiet life of financial stability. The greatest good is honouring Jesus as King over all authorities and powers. Jesus' ascension means that he is now the supreme heavenly ruler. Well, we're 9 weeks into the national lockdown, and we want to ask, what is the ascended Jesus doing now? During this tribulation that's come upon the whole world, across the nations and the UK, what is Jesus doing as supreme ruler? What is his goal? So thirdly and finally, Jesus' ascension to heaven means that he is forming his future church. Jesus is forming his future church. Please look with me to verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 1. And God placed all things under his feet, that's Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Those three words, for the church. God the Father has appointed Jesus head over everything, and this is of benefit to a particular section of everything, namely the church. Now in this verse, we shouldn't think so much of the church as an organisation on earth at the moment. Rather, it's the total assembly of Jesus' true disciples throughout time and across the world. The word church in this verse is a translation of the original Greek word, ekklesia. And at the time of writing, it was an everyday word for a gathering or assembly of people. One day in the future, this total church, that is all those who've been saved through Jesus, will be gathered together. So Paul isn't writing about a church like the Church of England or the Methodist Church. He's not speaking about a local church like All Saints here in Fordham and Atash Green, or say Kingsland Church in Lexton. Rather, he's writing about the ultimate church made up of all true believers in church communities through the centuries and across the nations. God appointed Jesus as head of everything for the benefit of this group of people. Now that is an amazing idea. It makes every local church very special in God's purposes. So what is the ascended Jesus doing during the pandemic? He's forming his future church. There are so many things that can seem more important today, more important than church. How I'm connecting with people on social media, being successful in my exam results, the financial turnover of the company. And these things can certainly be important, but Jesus' ascension and heavenly rule put them in their proper place. Because the most important thing is to be part of that future church around God's throne. Let me ask you a question. What difference did it make that the Son of God became a human being and lived a human life? You see, he ruled the universe before he became a human being. So what difference did his conception and crucifixion, his death and burial, his resurrection and ascension make? The difference is the church. Through all this, Jesus did the saving work which enabled the formation of this complete future church. The difference is the creation of a loved people for God. The difference is the redeeming atonement in Jesus' body on the cross, which enabled the creation of the church. Jesus' earthly life, all of it, was for the benefit of the future church. God did it for us. So what is Jesus doing now during this pandemic? He's forming the church. And this takes us back to my first point, that Jesus' ascension means spirit-filled mission. Today, we are between Jesus' ascension and his promised return. At this moment, we're in unusual circumstances, certainly in our experience. Unusual circumstances of a global pandemic, but of course, there have been plagues throughout history. At this time, as in any time and generation, Jesus wants us to be his witnesses, witnesses to the ends of the earth, empowered by his Holy Spirit. And this moment gives us particular opportunities. So Jesus is forming his future church through us. Jesus wants to grow his future church through All Saints Church now. We are part of Jesus' big plan. So if you're listening and you're not a regular member of our church community, I'm so glad that you're hearing this message. I encourage you to find out how you can become part of Jesus' future church, the formation of which is at the centre of his purposes. I'd love to help you to discover more, so do get in touch if you'd like to. Well, I've come to the end of this sermon. Let me summarise. I've highlighted three things. Jesus' ascension means, firstly, spirit-filled mission now. Secondly, it means that he is the supreme heavenly ruler. And thirdly, it means that Jesus is forming his future church through us. Will you be there when the total community of Jesus' people is gathered together from across human history and across the nations? In a moment, we're going to respond with a song called Across the Lands, You're the Word of God the Father. And as we come to the third verse, you'll see that it focuses on Jesus' resurrection and ascension. But let's have a moment of quiet to reflect on this message.
We affirm our faith in the responsive Apostles' Creed, printed on the sheet. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our prayers of intercession are led this morning by Irene Bale.
The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the Philippians in chapter 4 of his letter. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will garrison your hearts. Our gracious Heavenly Father, at this time of national anxiety, we thank you for your word, for your encouragements, and for the peace which guards our hearts. We praise you for the beauty of creation, the trees and plants emerging into new life in the sunshine, with all their wonderful colours and shapes that we see around us. We thank you above all for Jesus, who is the supreme ruler, even in this time of turmoil. Please help us to trust him, and we pray that he may bring an end to the coronavirus pandemic. We pray for the many people still suffering and for the families of those who have died. Surround them with your love and care. We pray for those working in hospitals and care homes that you will protect them and give them strength in time of need. We pray that you will pour your spirit afresh on our church in Fordham and 8 Ash Green. Give us a heart for lost souls and give us the courage to invite people to the Christianity Explored course, which is starting next Wednesday. We thank you for the preparations put in place and we ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this place. We pray for the selection of a new diocesan bishop, that he, the right choice may be made, someone who honours your word and cares for your people. We pray for our church missionaries, Sandy and Kirsten, and their children, Cameron and V. We pray for help for Cameron's health. We pray for a rest for Sandy, who is halfway through his sabbatical. Bless and protect V in Egypt, we pray. And we also pray for our minister, for Francis, and for his family. Thank you for all their work for our church, and give them a restful time next week on their annual leave. We pray for many in our church family who are anxious or lonely or unwell. May your comfort and love surround them, and may people in our congregation be able to supply their needs. We pray especially for Bob and Ruth at this time. Strengthen Ruth in her caring role and give Bob your peace. We also pray for Chris and Marlise. Protect Marlise in the care home and allay Chris's anxieties at home. May they both be aware of your love for them. Pause for you to add any other prayers for people on your hearts. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
We say the words of the Lord's Prayer, printed on the sheet. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Some church news as we come to the end of this service. Half term has begun, and tomorrow is a bank holiday, so I hope that you get a chance to rest and enjoy the sunshine. I'm taking some annual leave from tomorrow and will be available again on Monday the 1st of June. Daphne Harvey's funeral will be this Wednesday, 12:30 p.m. at Colchester Crematorium. The hearse will drive from her house in Fordham Village past the church from 11:50 a.m. Because of social distancing, only a few people are able to attend. But details of how to log into the live webcast are in the service sheet. Our diocese is running a consultation process regarding the appointment of the next Bishop of Chelmsford. You can participate in this as an individual, and the PCC plans to give input on behalf of our church. Further details are in the service sheet, and the final date for submissions is the 4th of July. If you're interested in thinking further about Christianity and Jesus Christ, why not join us for Christianity Explored this Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're running the course online using Zoom. Further details can be found on the church website, including how to register through Eventbrite. During the lockdown, most of us aren't seeing as many people as we normally do, but the internet is buzzing with chatter. We can use social media to share Christian content and to connect our friends with the Good News Gospel. Why not use one of the social media links at the bottom of our Eventbrite page to invite someone to Christianity Explored? Maybe you could share this podcast with someone. And Ruth Reynolds has written a piece in today's service sheet explaining how you can share her All Saints Club videos in this kind of way. Finally, we wish Sophie Lacey a very happy birthday. Sophie turns 12 tomorrow, and we hope that you have a great day.
A final prayer and blessing.
Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into the heavens, so we in heart and mind may also ascend, and with him continually dwell. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.